Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in. Intentional Grounding, episode 75. The Kyle Long episode.
He's got a long recovery road ahead of him.
He does.
Rehabbing two surgeries, or soon to be two surgeries.
Yeah, he's just working on that first one still.
Yeah, yeah.
He tweeted yesterday that he had lost 30 pounds, and he already gained back 15 of that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What is...
Because he's been back at Hallis, kind of working out.
Uh-huh.
He also tweeted he's going to spend the whole offseason here.
Really?
Which in the past he hasn't done. He's gone to Arizona.
They also have that home in Montana, right? The big... long family home in Montana.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got a hard offseason. I think he realizes that, and he knows that he's going to come back strong for next season.
I get the sense he's already itching for it. I mean, he is such a – he just can't sit still naturally. It just isn't in him. He needs to do something. He needs to focus on something. So, obviously, he will attack his rehabilitation, but right now when he's – all. He's just got to be content with just sitting.
Yeah, it's got to be hard. That's Adam Johns. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. I'm Adam Hogue, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at INT Grounding Pod. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. ChicagoSunTimes.com. Adam's got a good story up today, which we're about to dive into, is kind of our news of the week, because there really isn't any news of the week this week. So it's time to sort of start looking forward to next year. You can subscribe to the podcast for free on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And a quick shout out to everybody celebrating Christmas and Hanukkah and all your holidays. It's a fun time of year. So we wish you all happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And we didn't have an episode for you after the Bears beat or lost to one. Yeah, they definitely did not.
We had family parties to get to. You had a flight to catch.
It was Christmas Eve. I had to jump on a flight to Minnesota. Getting flights on Christmas Eve is not easy. It's kind of got a reputation for being a tough travel day.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the TSA agents. They said there was like no one at the airport all day.
Really?
And when I tried to get a flight out to go to Minnesota, because I usually fly American Airlines, there was no flights after 3 o'clock. Usually you can get flights to Minnesota because I do it
all
the time,
hours, yeah,
pretty much whenever. So there weren't a whole lot of flights available. I had to go to Midway and get on a Southwest flight, and that was the last one of the day. So that's why I was like,
gotta go.
Gotta get out of here. Gotta get to my family. You had a party to get to, too.
Your flight to Minnesota was probably shorter than my drive out to the western suburbs.
Really?
290 was a mess.
The traffic was bad.
Brutal.
On Christmas Eve.
Stalled cars. The weather wasn't even a factor.
No.
I get that people have places to go, but I thought for sure leaving Soldier Field, I think it was about 5:45. I thought for sure I was in for a 30-minute commute, about an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Yeah.
I was a Grinch by the time I got there.
You might be right. I was a Grinch just because I was, you know, we got our airline status and our...
Yeah.
Some of our perks that we get with traveling a lot and flying Southwest, I had none of that. So I'm stuck in like the C-50.
And Southwest is weird, man. Like, I want an assigned seat. I want to know where I'm sitting. I don't want this come on board and
right.
Get what you can get.
So I was being
free for all.
Yeah, I'll fully admit it. I call them white wines. I was whining. I'm like, come on. I just give me.
I just. Okay.
That's what I called. That's what I was doing. I fully admit it.
You're white whining.
I took my seat in the middle seat.
Yeah.
It's a short flight, and I
still
I don't know the last time I sat in the middle. It's a white wine. It's I know. People got to do it, and I got there. I got there. I saw
first world problems.
Exactly. It was a great Christmas, and I'm a spoiled brat. I get it. All right. Let's jump into where it. I'm not even going to play the news sounder because it's not news. But you had an awesome story today in the paper, an even longer version online, kind of breaking down this rookie class.
Yeah. Talked to Clint Hurt, the outside linebackers coach. Talked to Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach. Talked to Glenn Pyers, the inside linebackers coach. Talked to Ed Donatell, the secondary coach. And talked to, who am I missing? Stan Drayton, the running backs coach. Wanted to focus on five rookies who have stood out this year, and it was simple. Leonard Floyd, Cody Whitehair, Nick Wachowski, Jordan Howard especially, and Cravon LeBlanc. Jonathan Bullard, sorry. DeAndre Hall, sorry. Deion Bush, sorry. Those are your five standouts for this rookie class.
Well, we really don't know a whole lot about those guys yet. I'd say
they haven't played.
It's kind of an incomplete grade. I think out of those guys, maybe you're a little disappointed with what Jonathan Bullard's given you this year because he's actually been healthy, and I think his playing time or lack of playing time is more related to maybe the talent that they've seen as opposed to those other guys being hurt. And maybe a little bit with Deion Bush, too. He's pretty raw. We'll see on those guys. But your story kind of focused on the rookies that have emerged. And there's five of them. The Bears had nine draft picks.
Yeah.
They've ended up with five guys that look like pretty solid players going forward.
Yeah.
One is an undrafted free agent, Cravon LeBlanc, that they claimed off of waivers. But still, that's a pretty good group of guys out of a draft class because the bottom line is you're not going to hit on all of them. You know that going in. All GMs know that. And if you're batting 500, that's very good.
The most interesting comments from any of the coaches I talked to, and these were pretty good long conversations, great insight they all provide. But when Stan Drayton says that he thinks that Jordan Howard can be faster, that they need him to finish those long runs, I think he has 10 runs of over 20 yards or more. That's tied for third in the NFL amongst running backs. So he has that burst, but you saw...
But he doesn't have breakaway speed.
But they think he can improve that in two aspects. One, his gait. He still tends to run like he's in a hole or being patient for that hole. Maybe if he improves his gait, he starts to stride more, that he can gain that extra step. Number two is speed endurance. Drayton says he's got good enough speed to, I mean, you see it with those explosive runs, but he loses steam on those runs. I just remember the in Indianapolis, there's a perfect example. Far run down the right sideline, he is caught, and he seemed to slow up. He needed a break after that play. That is speed endurance. If he gets in better shape to handle the rigors and what he's going to be asked to do, that maybe he can turn that, I forget how long that run was in Indy, into Pater, into the end zone. That he could get that final burst and finally be such a game-changing player.
Well, I think that lack of break, I agree that you can do those things to kind of help your some of the limitations you do have. And you could see in college, he was never going to be a breakaway speed guy. That's just not his
game. That's why he was a fifth-round pick.
That's why, but I was going to say, I mean, that's a big reason why he fell to the fifth round the way he did. I also think a reason why he fell to the fifth round, and there was some honesty from Dow Loggins yesterday when we talked to him in his press conference, his weekly press conference at House Hall. He said, look, I didn't see this coming in OTAs and training camp. And, you know, I tweeted out the quote, Dow Loggins, I guess, is just going to be a punching bag in the city right now with the fan base. Fine, whatever. I think they should pay a little bit more attention to some of the numbers that are out there. The fact that there are signs that this offense is making some strides despite all the injuries they've had. I understand frustration with the play calling at times. But what he was saying was that he didn't see it in practice because Jordan Howard is a guy who really you have to put the pads on and play live action to see what he can do because he's not going to win the combine drills. Okay, he's not going to blow you away in practices when things aren't at, you know, even in training camp when you have pads on, it's still like 80%. I mean, you're not really going full blast, and especially with the running backs, when you can't tackle, you can't see if a guy can break a tackle.
Yeah.
And you just can't see that. So you got to see him in a game, and everyone immediately jumped on Dow Loggins for that quote because, oh, well, what about that 100-yard game you had in the preseason?
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about the games. He was talking about practice and how it wasn't there, and I think that's another reason why Jordan Howard fell to the fifth round, because sometimes, as much as we talk about game tape mattering, these evaluators want to see the measurables. They want to see the guys that explode off,
right.
You know, off the scouting report when it comes to being first, second, third round draft picks. And if they don't, well, all right, we'll take a guy in the fifth because of his tape, but not the first.
And it's not just him in practice, too. You mentioned the 80%. Again, the linebackers aren't tackling. The safeties aren't fitting the holes like they would at full speed. So you don't know, again, how his break tackle ability would be in those situations. And the offensive linemen aren't operating at the nastiness that you would expect in a game. You know, things are just... Look, they work hard, they practice hard, but it's not game hard, if that makes sense to you.
There was an interesting nugget in your story, too, that you mentioned that Leonard Floyd's concussions were a result of poor technique.
Yep. He's lowering his head in certain situations, especially when there's a bunch of traffic. And he's kind of a tall, couldn't hurt call him a wire-like guy because he's so thin. They like his natural strength and all that stuff, but I think because he is built that way, and when the pad level gets low on certain plays, that his, I don't want to say it's his instinct, but he tends to just lower the crown of his helmet in those situations. And in two of those situations, he's been run over by Hakeem Hicks because he's such a massive human being coming through in those ways. It's just, that's fixable. It's not like he's getting, you know, knocked out or is knocking himself out. It's just poor technique. And look, you don't like he has two concussions in 5 weeks. That's awful.
I wouldn't play him this week.
No, I don't think he will. No. There's no reason. I think you've seen enough. I think he's made enough progress to where you're comfortable with him going into the off season. And really, the off season for him is so important. And that was my big takeaway talking to Clint Hurt, is just how he can condition his body to be tougher. He used words like harden and callous and just build his body, whether it's with muscle or just endurance, to handle everything that's expected of him as an outside linebacker. Just the physicality of the position and all the pain and the rigors that is going to endure starting with the offseason program. He wasn't ready for that last year.
No.
He can be ready for that starting this offseason.
Well, I think what we've seen from Leonard Floyd this year, a lot of it's predictable. The story in the offseason was his weight and his diet and all that stuff that we spent, you know, June writing about because it's June. But, you know, that stuff does matter because, like you said in your story and just mentioned, I mean, Clint Hurt said, you have to callous up your body with muscle so that you're tough enough for this league. And for him, he's never going to be this monster defensive lineman type guy. He's always going to be tall and lanky, but he's got that elite speed that most pass rushers don't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember talking to Clint Hurt back in training camp about converting speed to power, and that's really going to have to be his game, and him doing that is going to be the times where he wins on the edge. And the problem is these offensive tackles are trying to invite him to just bull rush.
Yeah, right.
Because he's not going to win the bull rushes unless he gets the guys off balance. So when the offensive linemen are able to set themselves and invite you to just bull rush straight in, they're going to be on balance, and they're not going to fall over or get off balance, and then that's when Leonard Floyd's going to get around you. So I think that's the battle that he's been fighting through all season, and why you've seen times where, wow, he makes a huge play. You know, he gets that safety in Green Bay, or that was the sack fumble for a touchdown, and then he got the safety against Tennessee?
No, San Fran.
San Fran, that's right. Those are the big plays where you say, okay, the talent's there. But then there's also too many times when you look at the tape and he's just kind of spinning his wheels against an offensive tackle.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Hurt say that when the offensive linemen start inviting him to bull rush, and that really leaves him with only his option to bull rush because they beat him kind of off the ball or for whatever reason they're set up, that Floyd has gotten frustrated by that and started to improvise more off the rush plan. And he went into great detail about how they set up these rush plans and all the analysis and details that go into it and how sometimes you just got to be patient with it because the rush plans can pay off by the fourth quarter if you just stick with it, because these tackles will make mistakes. These tackles will be asked to do different things. The game situations will change, but to stick with it. And a lot of times Floyd, because of his frustrations, would try to use his athleticism in certain ways, and the offensive linemen, the more veteran seasoned offensive linemen, were prepared for it. They were prepared for his counter move. So a lot of it is just understanding to be patient and to trust the plan that he and Hurt kind of laid out for himself in certain games.
Before we dive into the season finale against the Vikings, I also want to touch on Nick Kwiatkowski in your story, because I like the upside there. I still think the tape is limited. I think it's still too early to make some grand conclusions on him. But I like the first impression, which I always talk about with these kids is very important. And quite frankly, Leonard Floyd's first impression in the preseason wasn't all that impressive. I mean, I had some severe doubts from what I was seeing originally in training camp, but you always took into account the injuries and understood that. And I think that's why, you know, no one was panicking, which is, I think, how I wrote it back in August. You know, no need to panic yet, but there's some concerns here. Fair concerns. And I think some of those concerns are still there, but there's also bright spots. With Nick Kwiatkowski, it's still so early. But what was your impression talking to Glenn Pyers about him, the Bears linebackers coach?
Number one, that he's been able to handle the physicality of the position. And I thought this was interesting, and I think it was omitted, at least in the print version, that a lot of these linebackers in college now, the evaluation has changed because everybody's spreading the ball. Mm-hmm. So the depth of their where they align is different. The things they're asked to do in college compared to the pros is different. It becomes Pyers kept banging on the table, and I was talking to him. It's bang, bang, bang now. You know, the box is smaller. The physicality is different. Kwiatkowski's been able to handle that because he's thick, and he's naturally a downhill physical guy. He's got good instincts in that area. With him, it's been understanding what he needs to do in coverage. It's understanding how he could be a better rusher because they like his power in his rush, but sometimes he needs to be more finesse than power. They like how he is taking control of the offense or the defense when Freeman and Trevathan were out for their various reasons. They like how they like the foundation he has and the understanding he has of his responsibilities and others' responsibilities in the defense. Now it's understanding what the offense is trying to do, not only to him, but to beat his defense and his calls. That's his next step. The example there was him tackling Ty Montgomery and a screen for a one-yard loss, the play that preceded actually the 60-yard bomb to Jordy Nelson. That's an example of him understanding alignments, understanding situation, and playing fast and diagnosing the play and attacking. They love that, but they need to see more of that.
You know, I was thinking when the difference between what I think is going to kind of transpire in the offseason when we start to look at this depth chart compared to last spring when we looked at this depth chart, and we kept going into training camp, I think, saying, man, there's not a lot of depth at these positions. I mean, if these starters get hurt, it's gonna be tough. And that's kind of how the season transpired.
Yeah.
You look at like the inside linebacker position for one. I mean, Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan are still there. I mean, they're still going to be the starters, at least on the depth chart, and yet you're going to have a young kid in Nick Kwiatkowski who has some upside pushing them.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. I mean, that's the situation you want going into a training camp instead of what they had this year. And that's just looking at it now before we see what draft picks are made, what free agent additions are made. I think you also have a situation, Cody Whitehair was another guy that obviously was in your story because he's been a huge bright spot, but he's not necessarily locked in at center going forward because these guys still like Hronos Grasu, and still think that there's some potential there, and he's probably more of a guy that's locked into center more than having the versatility like Cody Whitehair does. So it's very possible if Grissou comes back strong that Whitehair is actually playing guard.
Yeah, and you don't know how things. I mean, you saw Kyle Long get lost for the season. You saw Josh Sitton deal with a high ankle sprain. So injuries change things. So say that happens next year. What could be your best option? Maybe moving Whitehair back to guard and moving Aronis Grissou into center.
There's some that think Whitehair can play tackle.
Yeah.
Probably not left tackle, but maybe right tackle.
Now, if that happens, I think the Bears might be in trouble if that's needed. But, you know, you mentioned Trevathan. I think that Kukowski goes into the offseason program as the starter. He's dealing with a torn patellar tendon, Danny Trevathan.
That's true, yeah.
That's a long recovery. That's worse than an ACL. That could take a full year for him to feel right. So he may be out there, but he may not be the Danny Trevathan they thought they signed last offseason.
And this is a guy with a history of knee injuries, too.
Yes. Now, he's come back from those and become a productive player. His speed has been retained. But I think it's given an edge, at least from a physical standpoint, to Nick Kukowski to be your starter, at least when the offseason program begins.
But at least you have that depth. So, I mean, that's – I think as people are probably rolling their eyes a little bit when John Fox talks about how they're close. But I think you're going to see a considerably different depth chart when you're staring at it this spring than you did a year ago when you were just trying to plug holes with random – by the way, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, you look at the free agent signings. Akeem Hicks has been great. Jarrell Freeman, other than the suspension, has been pretty good. Danny Trevathan, before he got hurt, was pretty good.
Tracy Porter,
good. I'm just talking about this last year, though.
Yeah.
What was the other big one? Josh Sitton, who fell in your lap right before the season. The problem with all these guys is that they haven't been able to play 16 games, other than Akeem Hicks. But they've all been good when they're out there. So I really like Ryan Pace's strategy the last 2 years of not going out and signing the, you know, the first wave. He's waiting for the value in the second and third waves of free agency, which is how it always goes every year. There's a huge balloon at the top that, you know, Malik Jackson goes to the Jaguars for an insane amount of money. And instead, Pace gets Danny Trevathan, who was probably just as good of a player for the Broncos for a lot less money. So I like that strategy, and the sometimes those guys, when they play well, then it looks great, and when they don't, like Eddie Royal.
But it's not like they handed Eddie Royal a $10 million
that's my
contract.
Point. When it doesn't work out, and a lot of times in free agency it doesn't, because that's just the reality of the business. You're signing guys who are a little bit older in a game where careers don't last that long.
Yeah.
Well, these contracts aren't killing you. Eddie Royal's contract is not killing you. It's one that didn't work out, but it's not killing you.
Right.
So you say goodbye and okay, thanks for your service, and you move on. Too many times in the past, this organization has been bogged down by bad contracts or just free agent signings that haven't worked out. They've gone for the home run. Sometimes it's worked out. Julius Peppers, for the most part, worked out.
Absolutely.
But it got to the point where you had to restructure that thing like three times because it was hurting you against the cap. And eventually you had to say goodbye. Now he's kicking your ass on the Packers.
Yeah.
You know? So
getting strip sacks and changing games.
All right. Let's move on to this last game here. I think a lot of people are saying, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. I guess the highlight of this game is getting to see the new Viking Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my first question, actually, is how soon does Jordan Howard break this record? He's going to break.
Yeah, so he needs 61 yards.
Yes, 61. He is 60 to tie, right?
This is Matt Forte's rookie rushing record for the Bears.
Right, how about this? I mean, this kid didn't even start the first three games.
I know.
And here
we're talking about a franchise with Gale Sayers, Walter Payton.
We're talking about a fifth-round pick for a 3-12 football team. You know, this is quite something, what Jordan Howard's been able to do. I think he gets it in the third quarter. I don't think he's going to have an amazingly big game. Maybe he gets 85, 95 yards. I don't think he tops 100. I still think Minnesota's still pretty stout when they need to be, but I think he definitely does it.
My big question is, how does Matt Barkley bounce back? Five interceptions last week. He's been more good than bad, but he also hasn't been outstanding. A lot of people ignored the numbers even going into last week. He had six touchdowns and seven interceptions going into last week. I mean, the numbers were not that great. A lot of times, and we're guilty of this too, our reaction to how a guy plays is based on our own expectations, right? Mm-hmm. So the expectations were so low for this kid coming in that he's kind of getting too much credit, probably. But he's still been solid. I still think he's done enough to, if the Bears want to bring him back and the money isn't too much, then it's worth it. But, you know, he's got one more game here to kind of show how he bounces back from an awful performance. And it really was his first awful performance. So how does he play? That will probably have a lot to do also with how much success Jordan Howard has. Because you know this Vikings defense, their first goal is going to be shut down Howard.
I don't get why so many people are making definitive statements about Matt Barkley. I mean, that game was perfect for the naysayers to say, told you, he's a backup. Not even that. You know, he's still Matt Barkley from the Eagles. He couldn't work out there. It's not going to work out here. The Eagles' offense is so extremely different than what the Bears are running. You can't even count that time.
Yeah.
Look, this, we got a five-game evaluation, soon to be six-game evaluation. That is just a sliver of what evaluations for quarterbacks should be. I'm of the opinion that he's at least earned another shot somewhere, whether it's here or somewhere else. He's been.
Oh, he's going to be in the league.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's an NFL quarterback in some respect. Now, I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know what his floor is. I think five games is still five games, but we'll see how he responds. My second question is the players he's going to be targeting. Can Alshon Jeffrey give you a lasting impression that is positive? I don't know where his future, if his future is going to be here. I think $17 million, while not overly burdensome to the Bears salary cap situations because they have a lot of flexibility, I still think a contract stalemate is in the future between Jeffrey's side and the Bears side. And this could very well be his last game in a Bears uniform. So what does he go out and do with it?
Well, just on that topic, I think the Bears need him. I mean, if you're not bringing him back, then maybe you're looking at a wide receiver or that number 3, 4, 5 overall pick all of a sudden. And you have so many other needs that I'm not sure that's the direction you want to be going. You're not up against the cap. You can afford to give this guy money. But I agree with you that I don't think this thing's going to be pretty. I think the way this has played out already is an indicator of that. And I think the fact that there wasn't really any definitive answers to the questions that the Bears had about Alshon Jeffrey this year. So I agree with the word stalemate. And I don't know if the franchise tag is something they would consider again, but I think it's something they should.
It's the same. It's nearly the same situation as last year, almost, right? This time his availability is linked to a PED suspension.
Mm-hmm.
He's played every other game other than that. But that still becomes part of your concern with him.
Yep.
He was taking anti-inflammatory something to,
for a history of injuries of soft tissue.
Yes. So he's doing it to help him stay on the field, and he's not listening to the people in your building. He's listening to people outside your building. So that muddles things. Now, I think he's a better teammate than people give him credit for. I think he's got that fire and desire. He just shows it differently. He's got a demeanor that kind of fits what you want out of your number one receiver. But again, there are question marks about him. Again, you can't reward a guy who was just suspended for four games for PEDs. So it's a bad precedent for the Bears to begin with. It's probably franchise tag or nothing.
Yeah, it's going to be sort of the same off-season story as it was last year. But I really think the Bears need him. And it's and like I said, it could severely impact where they go in the draft. I know Pace is pretty much stuck to the best player available, and he'll probably do it again. But all of a sudden, if Alshon's not there and your best option is Kevin White, who's broken his leg twice, and then Cam Meredith.
And Daniel Braverman.
It's
tough. You still got to re-sign Josh Bellamy and Deontay Thompson, I believe.
That's tough. Then you're still going backwards on offense, at least from a personnel standpoint, which is what they've done the first 2 years. And you could lose Cutler. You could be going backwards at quarterback, too. So it's going to be a really interesting offseason. All right, my second question is just how this defense bounces back, too. You know, it's overall been a solid year for this unit, but the last couple weeks has not been good. I mean, there's...
Well, they've been gashed on the ground. I know that last minute, whatever, that run the Redskins had, I don't...
But they kind of accused themselves of giving up there.
Yeah.
And that was them hinting at that. I mean, that was...
Darrelle Freeman nearly saying that.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of gave up at the end of the game. And that's really the first time we've seen that from this team all year.
Mm-hmm.
But you... That leads to a legitimate question in week 17 of how motivated you're going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're playing for pride, all those tangible things. But you,
whatever. You're also playing to not spend your whole offseason in rehab.
That's very true.
Rehabbing
that's,
an injury.
That's very true.
You know, last thing you want is to... I mean, that's something these guys legitimately think about because there's a big difference between being able to enjoy your offseason golfing and... hanging out and having
and dealing with what Kyle Long
the use
is
of your legs.
Yeah,
instead, you know, Kyle Long's about to have his second surgery. You talked about what Danny Trevathan's going to be going through.
There's a long list of your teammates dealing with this stuff. You don't want to be hanging out with them at Hell's Hall.
So you just want to get through this game healthy. And quite frankly, for the franchise, they want you to get through the game healthy too.
Yeah.
So it's they could talk about pride and all that. And the other part of it is, you kind of need to play that way or you're actually increasing your risk of injury.
Right, right.
But, for instance, the Leonard Floyd stuff, if you're not using your proper technique...
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you can't be half-assing out there when a pile's coming your way and you get your ankle rolled and all of a sudden you're casted up and on the sidelines for, you know, 4 to 6 months. So.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, so those are our big questions for this game. Let's talk about our... bold predictions for the last time this year.
Bold predictions.
What do you got?
It is a game prediction bold if they win? I don't think it is. No.
You did that last week.
I know.
That didn't work out.
I know. Matt Barkley, I think he responds well. Passer rating over 100. 2 touchdowns. 3 would be too bold. 2 touchdowns. They're still the Minnesota Vikings. Still a pretty good defense. But Matt Barkley responds, no turnovers, over 100 pass rating, and 2 scores.
I'm going to say Jordan Howard breaks the rookie rushing record by the second quarter.
Okay.
And the thinking behind that is I think they're going to be trailing in the second half, and we've seen what happens when they're trailing. Jordan Howard doesn't get the football.
Yeah. There's some...
They're down 3
in
the third. Got to throw it.
I thought you said you weren't going to harp on Dow Loggins.
That I said that's really the only thing that I think is fair criticism.
Is not continuing to run the ball?
Some of the play calling. Like, for instance, when they're in, what was that, first and goal or second and goal last week, like early in the game, and he throws it on second and third down.
Yeah. There's a penalty in there though. You're thinking about the first possession or they settled for the field goal.
Yeah, run the ball.
I hear you.
Like you said, you got a guy who barely played the first 3 games, and he's going to break your franchise rookie rushing record. I mean, he happens to be pretty good at football. All right.
Predictions.
Sounds like you're taking the Bears.
Yeah, for the third straight week.
That's dumb.
You know their trend is okay. Say what you want. Now, their trend is to win this fourth game if you're looking at the 4-game segments of the season. So this is the game they win. Lose the first 3, win the final one. So based on that trend, the Bears should win this one. Now, look, the Vikings they're kind of an interesting story, man. The turmoil with the improvised coverage, you get stuck on the tarmac, you got your coach with one eye. Crazy stuff has happened. They've lost 8 out of 10 after starting off, 6-1 or something like that?
Yeah.
This is
and the Bears beat them earlier this year. When then that was before the wheels had completely fallen off.
Right.
They
right.
had they did lose to Philadelphia the week before, but I mean, it wasn't to this point. And yeah, that stuff last week, because I flew to Minnesota after the game. I mean, I was in Minnesota that night at following the Vikings Packer game, and that's all they were talking
and
about.
They're freelancing and coverage. I mean, Jordy Nelson is killing them.
The big story was that the secondary wasn't listening to Mike Zimmer. They were basically, you know, going rogue out there. And when you start having questions like that, that's those are significant stories in the NFL. And this team has been just as bad as the Bears in the last 10 weeks or so. So, if not worse. So, I got to say, I'm a little surprised the Vikings are favored by 6.5 here.
Yeah. Okay. It went up to 6.5?
Yeah. That's what I just, when I checked it this morning before we recorded, yeah.
It was 5, so everybody's taking the Bears. I like them.
Well, you like them to win straight up.
Yeah, I do. I do. I forget what I put in the paper. I think I picked 23-17, something like that. Look, the Vikings, when your coaches are saying they should not be that honest to the media because of what's happening in your locker room and stuff, that's not good. Yeah. There's some bad things going on in Minnesota right now.
Well, the Bears are 0-7 on the road this year. Be trying to win a road game for the first time, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to lose in the end.
And they secure the number three pick.
They secure the number three pick. The worst they can do is number five.
Mm-hmm.
Number five pick is the worst they can do, which one of the NFL games we're going to pick is going to be because of draft implications. So we'll look into that in a moment here. I think the Bears cover, though. I want to make that known. I don't think they're going to lose by a touchdown and an extra point. So 6.5, I think they stay under that. But I am picking the Vikings to win the football game.
What's the score?
It's
going to be low scoring.
I'm still worried about the Bears' defense, though.
Against Sam Bradford? Statistically, doesn't look too bad.
Whoa, you're Mr. Sam Bradford. You love that guy.
I'm still kind of high on him. His numbers are
doesn't
okay.
Sound
but,
like
but
it.
But they're not putting up points.
I'll say Vikings 24, Bears 20.
Okay.
Barkley throws a pick at the end.
Bad decision or Hail Mary?
Bears are driving. Kind of like the end of the Giants game with Cutler.
Ooh, I remember that. Yeah.
Bears are driving. Doesn't have great options. Forces a throw to Jeffrey. Pick. That's how it ends.
Okay.
It'd be a fitting way for 2016. And although it'll be 2017 by the time this game gets played on New Year's Day.
That's true. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. All right, let's dive into these picks. Let's roll through them. A huge game. This will be the nightcap. The last game of the 2016 regular season. Packers going to Detroit. The Packers are a 3.5-point road favorite at Ford Field. This will decide the NFC North, and the Lions, if they lose, are in danger of missing the playoffs altogether because Washington is playing a Giants team. We'll get into this in a second, but Giants don't have anything to play for.
Right. So if Washington wins, there's a scenario. If Washington loses, both NFC North teams get in, right?
Yes.
As we saw last week, Washington is they're rearing to go.
But they're on the road in New York, but the Giants don't have much to play for.
No. They're in.
They're in. They can't improve their seeding.
No, you stay healthy.
Right. So
even though that's a rival, and that may be interesting for the first half, but you need to get out of that game with your starters intact. Anyway, Packers-Lions. Look, the Packers are running the table. When Aaron Rodgers tells you to relax, when he tells you he's running the table, that SOB is going to do it, and he is going to do it by beating the Detroit Lions, winning the NFC North. And when there were so many concerns about the Packers, here comes Aaron Rodgers again, being Aaron Rodgers, to silence all their critics, to silence all their concerns, and he's going to play hero. They cover. You could lock that up. Here's some Vince.
Lock Martin. It?
Yes.
Oh, hey, I locked the Packers up last week against the Vikings. It worked out well for me. And you know what? I agree with you.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
You better lock it up.
You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Yeah, got to play that back to back because we're both locking up the pack. I agree. I think they win this game. Lions, they looked good for a second against the Cowboys last week, and then it all fell apart.
When Zach Zenner is like your
yeah
fun story, but I mean, come, I don't know.
By the way, I didn't lead with this, and I should have. I kicked your ass last week in picks.
You did.
Your long, awesome 31-12 and whatever streak it was over 5 weeks is over.
I got arrogant like
you
did.
You went 2-8 last week.
Ouch.
I went, oh, I'm sorry, 2-6. We didn't pick that many games. You went 2-6 last week. I went 6-2. You were up 4 games on me. I don't know if you know how to do math.
We are tied.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
We are now tied. 72-67-4 going into the final week. That's pretty cool, though. If you think about all the games we picked this year, for us to
have to differ on some. We have to.
Well, at least one.
Okay.
We also have 3 college games.
We should actually just differ on one game, and that just be
put it all on. Put it all on the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
that'd be actually pretty sweet. Because we'll be at House Hall on Monday during the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
We could have, like, everyone cheering us on.
It would be.
We could have a room divided.
It would give us, yeah.
Maybe John Fox will be in on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll care. All right. By the way, I misspoke. This Giants-Washington game is in Washington. Well, technically Maryland. Mm-hmm. It's not New York. I had it written down wrong. But that even speaks more to this. So Washington's at home against a team that has nothing to play for. They're 7.5-point favorite over the Giants. So that tells you everything you need to know. And that's why, this makes it hard to pick these games.
Yeah,
yeah. It's no different with these bowl games. Like, well, for instance, you picked Washington State last week over Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Which Washington State was a 10-point favorite because of all this nonsense that happened with the Gophers.
Yeah.
And who knows what the motivation is going to be like. And you went with, they're going to be, the distraction. And I went the other way, and I said, well, maybe it's going to rally them.
Yeah.
And who knows? It's like a coin flip.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Minnesota came out and won the game outright.
I don't know what to do with this one. 7.5 is a lot of points.
That is a lot.
I mean, Washington can put up points. What are the reports out of New York? How many guys are they resting? The only report I saw out of New York... My friend, is that Brandon Marshall is giving halftime speeches that his teammates don't like.
Yeah, year two. Hashtag year two.
Yes.
As I've been saying.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, give me Washington in this game.
All right, well, the Giants are saying they're not going to rest their starters. That's what Coach Ben McAdoo has said. I mean, this is the latest as of yesterday.
Yeah.
He's not going to rest Eli Manning. He's going to play him. So here's a direct quote. We're going to play our players and go win the ball game, Ben McAdoo said. This is in the New York Daily News. That's what we do for a living. We only have 53 players on our roster. It's tough to go through a game if you rest your starters. We think we have 53 starters. Everyone plays a role on the team. You go in. You have an opportunity to play this week. We have to win the game this week.
Huh.
That makes it hard. And they're 7.5-point underdogs.
Yeah. All right, give me the Giants covering. The Redskins will win. Giants will cover the 7.5.
All right, well, maybe this is the one we're going to differ on. I am not going to believe Ben McAdoo. Maybe he starts his starters.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe Eli Manning's going to play the whole game. I just think it's kind of reckless to do that. And also, we saw what Washington did last week.
It's a great offense.
They got the pieces to score. They're at home. So I am going to say that Washington covers this one. That's risky, though.
Hey, it's in. You made it.
You liked it. All right, here's another one that's hard to call. A very motivated Raiders team in Denver. They have to win this game to win the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
I am so bummed about this. You know how much I love Derek Carr. The Raiders are the honorary team of this podcast. Derek Carr went down.
What's the line?
I was so looking forward to seeing him play in the playoffs. He's not going to. The Broncos are a 1-point favorite.
I like the Broncos in this one.
Matt McGloin.
I know.
Everybody. Matt McGloin.
Now, Matt Moore has played pretty well for Miami. Because he's got Adam Gase.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I don't know what to do with this one. I like the Broncos because, you know, they're... Look, when they get a fat guy touchdown scored against them like the Chiefs did and, you know, kind of rub their nose in the dirt, I think there will be a response in this game. They're done. They're playing for pride. A lot of veteran guys. Not having Derek Carr, you'll have some type of momentum and rally from the team initially, but that plays a factor against very still talent-laden Broncos defense.
That's the tough thing.
I know they're missing some guys. I don't think Derek Wolfe's going to play. DeMarcus Ware's going in IR.
Yeah. It's still a tough D.
Yeah.
And you got a guy that hasn't played all season. But I got to say, this Raiders team's been resilient. I mean, they have been in plenty of games where they've been losing. They've come back.
They've been resilient because of Derek Carr.
I know. And Derek Carr's... And you worry about the... kind of the emotional impact it has on the team.
Yeah. All right, we're going to differ, aren't we? Give me the Broncos.
No, I'm with you. I don't trust the Raiders without Derek Carr. So I'm gonna go with the Broncos too. All right. So we're gonna say the Broncos on, so we're not gonna differ there. That leaves the door open for the Kansas City Chiefs then to swoop in and win that division, which would kind of be very surprising. Maybe a couple weeks ago, but here they are. They go to San Diego to end their season, and the Chargers are 5.5-point home underdog in this one. Chiefs are going to be very motivated.
Yeah, no, Chiefs are going to win this.
They
look
great
last
week.
Yeah, they looked outstanding last week. Travis Kelce is quite the weapon, man.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
I know people are torn about Alex Smith. He's a great punching bag to have because of what he needs to be as a player or how he plays as a player. But you know what? He wins. He doesn't give games away. The defense is great. Chiefs cover this one.
By the way, the Broncos now 1.5-point favorite. We picked it at 1. Well, that's what we'll stick with.
Yeah, yeah.
But even in the last hour since I wrote these down, that has swung in the Broncos' favor. So, the way it's looking right now, it looks like the Chiefs are kind of favored to win that division now, which kind of crazy is great of a season the Raiders have had. And the Raiders are also playing, you know, first round bye is in play. They actually technically could still get home field advantage if the Patriots were to lose, which is probably not going to happen, but it is on the table. All right, the last NFL game we're going to pick has to do with draft status for the Bears. Because really, we went through all the games that matter for playoff positioning. So, the one team that has a better, or has the easier strength of schedule than the Bears and has clinched it is the Los Angeles Rams. They have one more win than the Bears do, but you picked the Bears to win this week. So, you think that's a possibility. And if they are tied with the Rams, they're going to lose that head to head tiebreaker.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say head to head because.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Not they didn't play this year, but they're going to lose the tiebreaker with strength of schedule. So the Rams host Arizona to end the season. The Cardinals, been a very disappointing season for them. But
very disappointing.
They are favored by 6.5 here on the road in the Coliseum.
Well, the Rams are going to lose. They're going to lose. 6.5, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy. Yeah, why not? Give me the Cardinals. Jeff Fisher's not there. They don't know what they're doing at head coach. They want John Gruden to Josh McDaniels to whoever.
I mean, the Cardinals don't make any sense. They went into Seattle and won last week.
I know. So give me Arizona. They'll finish strong for Bruce Arians. And look, we know the Rams are just a major mess, and they got a lot of fixing to do there. They got to find the right coach to fix their number one overall draft pick in Jared Goff. So, yeah, they're losing, and they'll lose big.
So you are adding your picks of the Bears and the Rams together. You are saying that the Bears are not going to have the number three pick.
So they would have four? Number four?
Well, it depends on...
the Jets?
Yeah, probably still four, but it's still going to fluctuate because their strength of schedule with the Jets is like even.
Yeah, yeah.
So that could be where things actually do change based on Week 17 results. All right, I'm going to pick the Cardinals too. Because the Rams are they're done, they're finished. It's hard to pick them to win a football game right here. So just to recap our NFL picks, the only one we differed on, the Giants Washington game.
We both picked the Bears kind of to cover. Are we going?
We
out
both
right?
picked the Bears to cover.
Yeah,
that's
well,
how
I
we,
had them to win. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But we go by cover,
and we are tied. So this will be fun. All right, three college games to pick too. We'll start with the Rose Bowl. Love the Rose Bowl.
We were talking earlier, though, I had forgotten who's in the Rose Bowl because the college playoff has completely moved my attention towards those four teams. You know, these bowl games, they're nice. I know you love the Rose Bowl, but...
Well, I just love the Rose Bowl. I love the tradition of it. I love being there.
But it doesn't have the luster that it used to, you know?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
My counterargument to that is the bowl games matter as much as they always have.
I'll tell that to Christian McCaffrey.
No,
or Leonard Fournette.
No, my point is
there's so many. There was a bowl game on the other day with a losing team on.
They're still exhibition games.
Okay.
They've always been exhibition games. They still matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like for that, trust me, I was there on the field at the Pinstripe Bowl the other day.
Yeah.
That game mattered a lot to Northwestern.
Yes.
But, I mean, if we're going to talk about national championships and things like that, the college football playoff hasn't really changed it. Now, maybe they've changed what you're talking about, your attention to them.
Yeah.
There's still good matchups. Like, we're recording this on Friday morning. Game tonight, Michigan, Florida State in the Orange Bowl. That's a great game.
Yeah, it is.
I can't wait to watch that game. So, I mean, for college football fans, I think it's the same as it's always been. And now you get the playoff to watch, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Now, if they could just stop putting on New Year's Eve, that'd be great. actually, next year it won't be on New Year's Eve. And they're doing it this year because of the NFL schedule.
Yeah.
It's all working out. So, it's fine. All right. So, we have number 9, USC. Playing number 5, Penn State. And this is a crazy line to me because Penn State's had a great season. They had a great come-from-behind win over Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship game. They're a 7-point underdog.
Well, it's like a home game for USC.
But, yeah. Penn State, though. Dude, Wisconsin played UCLA twice in the Rose Bowl, which is their home stadium, and Wisconsin had more fans. So, yeah, it's a home game. But we're talking about a Los Angeles team versus a school like Penn State.
Yeah, they're going to travel.
The entire state of Pennsylvania is going to be in L.A. So I don't know if that home game thing really matters.
I don't think USC's that good. I think it's been a weird year for college football.
Here's the thing. USC finished really, really strong.
Yeah.
I mean, if they hadn't lost the games they did in the first 3 weeks of the season, they're good enough to go into the college football playoff and win, in my opinion.
You think so? So you're picking USC?
I don't know if I'm picking them with 7 points, though. I mean, that's the problem. I do think they're going to win the game. 7 points is a ton.
I like Penn State in the points.
Yeah. USC's won 8 straight games. They were the only team that beat both Washington and Colorado.
Well, Colorado has proven to be
a
tad bit
overrated.
Yeah.
But they did go into Washington and win.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive win. They convincingly beat UCLA and Notre Dame to end the year. And I got to say, I'm still not completely on the Penn State train here. Because if you looked at how they came back against Wisconsin, it still doesn't make sense. their whole offense.
Says the guy drinking coffee out of the I Love Bucky mug.
The whole... But did you watch the game? Their whole offense.
I did watch some of the game.
Their whole offense is have McSorley just throw the ball up in the air. He's not that great of a quarterback.
Well, worked against your stout Badgers defense.
I know.
Take the points.
I'm going to go with USC here.
Okay. Oh, we differ.
Yeah. That's a lot of points. We'll see. I don't feel great about that pick.
You look very...
I think I might regret that. I just want the Rose Bowl to matter for us. All right. Washington and Alabama in the college football playoff semifinal. So the Rose Bowl is actually on Monday. These next two games will be played on New Year's Eve. So it's Washington and Alabama. Alabama's a 13.5-point favorite here. And we've been, every time we've picked Alabama, they're like a 20-point favorite.
I know.
And we're like, fine, they're going to win.
No, they're going to cover. They're going to do it again. Yeah. No, Alabama, they're going to roll. Roll Tide.
Watching Colorado last night made me, I've been like, Washington can play with Alabama. They got good corners. They got good wide receivers. They got a good quarterback. They can hang around here. And then watching Colorado last night, it's like, and Washington dominated Colorado. So, I mean, maybe I shouldn't put that much stock into it in the Pac-12 championship game. But I still think there's a big difference between these two schools.
Yeah, there's Alabama talent. That's pro talent.
Yeah.
And Alabama.
So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take Alabama here. I hope it's closer than that, just from a fan standpoint watching this game. But it would be really fun to see Washington upset Alabama.
It would be.
But I don't think that's going to happen. All right, we'll finish this off with Ohio State versus Clemson. The Buckeyes are a 3-point favorite here.
Yeah, this is the game. I don't know how I feel about this one.
I actually think Clemson's a better team.
Really, because they got the better quarterback?
They have the better quarterback.
A lot of pro talent. Maybe not as much as last year, but it's there.
Clemson kind of like, I got the feeling just sort of paying attention here that Clemson sort of sleepwalked through the season a little bit. They were there last year. They knew they were good. You know, they had the loss to Pitt at home, which was, you know, I say this every time. Every good team even has a clunker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think Clemson's loaded on both sides of the football. They have a ton of guys that can play at the next level. And Ohio State, give them all the credit in the world for winning the games they did, but there were plenty of times this season where they didn't look as dominating as they should have been. I mean, the win against Oklahoma earlier in the year was great. But let's not forget, I mean, Northwestern was a play away from beating them in the shoe.
How many scouts do you think will be at this game just to see the quarterback, Deshaun Watson?
A ton.
I mean, this is a big game for him.
Yeah. Against a good defense.
Yes. Against pro-level players. Spotlight. There's still a few question marks about Watson, and I am of the, in terms of being skeptical about him as a player, I side more towards pessimism than optimism about him, but statement game here. This is a game quarterbacks, good quarterbacks, great quarterbacks come through for their teams, and I think he may do it this time. I'm an Ohio State guy, you know that.
Yeah, that's why I don't like you.
Yeah. So this is Ohio State by -3, right?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Edit that. Clemson. Give me Clemson.
No.
Yes.
You can't say all that and then go with Clemson. Mm-hmm. Come on. We're going to be in Minnesota on Saturday night.
Because you want me to see me rooting for the...
This game's going to be on. It's going to potentially ruin dinner. We got to differ on this one.
He's taunting me, guys.
You got it. You come on.
Fine. All right, fine. Let's have fun with it. Give me the Buckeyes. Oh, wait, because you know where my heart is in this. I've been a Buckeye fan for a while.
It's in a terrible place.
Yes. Well, national champion place, but say what you want. All right, fine. Give me the Buckeyes. JT Barrett, Urban Meyer, here they come. Bosa Jr.
All right. I really don't like that Penn State pick.
You can't change it.
I'm not going to change it. But I feel like we're definitely going to be going into Monday with the Rose Bowl deciding this thing between us. And I'm going to lose. That's where my confidence is at. All right. That's going to do it for us. It's pretty fun. I think it's pretty fun that this is coming down in the last week with our picks. So it'll be an interesting weekend. All right, this is episode 75 of Intentional Grounding, the Kyle Long episode.
Adam Jones!
That was after Minnesota win, or Bears win over Minnesota.
Yeah.
Gonna happen again.
He was happy with you.
He was.
He was. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. I'm sure there'll be some trash talking going on Twitter this weekend. And follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. Read us WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can find Adam Johns' story about the rookies that we spent a considerable amount of time in early part of this podcast talking about. You can subscribe on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. We will be back with a post-game episode on New Year's Day after the Bears play the Vikings. It'll be the last one of the season, and then we will kind of do our season-ending award show like we did last year.
Let's do it.
We'll have that for you next week, but there will be a post-game episode on Sunday after the game. So we will talk to you then.